Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Compassionate Leadership, How to Do Hard Things in a Human Way, by Rasmus Hougaard and Jacqueline Carter, with Marissa Afton and Moses Mohan. Narrated by Jean Ann Douglas. Publisher's note. This audiobook has bonus material of visual elements supporting the text. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material. Introduction. How to do hard things in a human way. The greatest challenge for most leaders is doing hard things in a human way. Leaders need to make decisions that impact people's lives. They need to tell someone they did not get the promotion. They need to close an office, cancel a project, or manage an unpopular change. They need to give people tough feedback or let someone know they no longer have a job. All leaders have to do these things that negatively impact other people. And that is hard. It is hard because we as humans are good. By nature, we want to do good, and we don't like to hurt others. The need for doing hard things in a human way is not new. But the need for it has recently increased. Today, people in companies expect a great work experience. They expect to feel connected, to feel valued, to feel cared for and cared about. This requires leaders who are able to create a more human world of work. When leaders manage to create this experience, people thrive and perform better. This raises an important question. As a leader, how do you do the hard things that come with taking on the responsibility of leadership while remaining a good human being and bringing out the best in other humans? In other words, how do you do hard things in a human way? This is an eternal conundrum for all leaders, and most think they have to make the difficult binary choice between being a good person or being a hard leader. But this is a false dichotomy. It is a terrible choice that no leader ever needs to make. Being hard and being human are not mutually exclusive. In truth, they are aligned. Doing hard things is often the most human thing to do. The ability to combine these two seeming opposites comes down to one thing: wise compassion. Wisdom is to see reality clearly and act appropriately. It is the foresightedness that comes with experience, and it helps us to deal with hard things up front rather than beating around the bush. To have wisdom means to have good judgment in how to lead others and how to run a business in a purposeful and sustainable way. As part of our research for this book, we looked at how leaders struggle most in this regard. The answer was clear. The hardest thing for most leaders is to find the courage to enter into difficult situations with other people. Most leaders find it harder to make a decision that impacts people than to make large, strategic, and potentially risky decisions. In this regard, wisdom in leadership is about having the courage to be candid and transparent with other people and do the things that need to be done, even when it's uncomfortable. Wisdom is to see clearly that if you don't do the hard things today, they will become even harder tomorrow. Compassion is the intention to be of benefit to others. Compassion is not about pleasing others and giving them what they want. Rather, compassion can be tough and direct, such as addressing another person's behavior if it is out of line. But it is done with the intention that helping them change will ultimately lead to better outcomes for everyone. The data on wise compassion in leadership. As a research and consulting firm that facilitates leadership development for large companies, we at Potential Project work to create a more human world of work. As part of this mission, we have done extensive research on wise compassion over the past decade. Specifically for this book, we have interviewed 350 executives. These have mainly been chief executive officers, CEOs, and chief human resource officers, CHROs. We focused on these two roles for a specific reason. CEOs are responsible for the most difficult decisions in an organization, and CHROs are the ones often tasked with executing them in a human way. The balance between these two is the intersection of being able to do hard things in a human way. In addition to the qualitative interviews, we have collected quantitative data from 15,000 leaders and 150,000 employees from more than 5,000 companies in nearly 100 countries. This includes two separate long-term studies in collaboration with Harvard Business Review and four leading business schools. A particular strength of the research for this book is that we collected data from both leaders and their direct reports. This allows us to have a unique insight into how direct reports rate their leaders, rather than relying only on leaders' self-reported data. The findings offer a strong case for wise, compassionate leadership. First of all, leading with wise compassion greatly benefits yourself as a leader. Our data shows that there is a direct correlation between your own level of wise compassion and your rank in your company. In other words, wise compassion is great for your career, as it makes you rise through promotions faster. The data also found that leaders who rate themselves high on compassion have 66% lower stress than their less compassionate counterparts, a 200% lower intention to quit, and 14% higher efficacy. But wise compassion benefits more than yourself as a leader. As figure I-1 shows, it greatly benefits the people you lead and your organization. The graph indicates how employees rate their leaders on a scale of wisdom and a scale of compassion, then shows how these impressions correlate to how they rate their own job satisfaction, commitment to their organizations, job performance, burnout, engagement, and satisfaction with their leaders. As the graph shows, wisdom and compassion have a significant positive impact on all aspects of the work experience and productivity of employees. An important detail to note is that when leaders combine wisdom and compassion, the real magic happens. The data reveals that in this case, the sum is truly greater than the parts. The key message of our research: for optimal leadership, wisdom and compassion must be combined. Wisdom without compassion can be ruthless, and compassion without wisdom can be naive. Just as a bird has two wings to keep balance, wisdom and compassion must go together. You can only act truly compassionately if you also have the wisdom of understanding a situation clearly. If you don't, even your best-intended actions can become a disservice for the ones you intend to support. As a matter of fact, without wisdom, good intentions can be the direct path to unskillful actions, chaos, and unnecessary human suffering for the very people you try to help. When you balance wisdom and compassion, you have learned the art and skill of wise compassion, and you can do hard things in a human way. The Wise Compassion Matrix. The Wise Compassion Matrix, shown in figure I-2, illustrates how wisdom and compassion need to be balanced. The matrix includes four leadership quadrants separated by two axes. The vertical axis moves from indifference or lack of care to compassion. The horizontal axis tracks from ignorance or a lack of courage to wisdom. In quadrant 3 at the bottom left, we are ineffective and indifferent as leaders. We can all find ourselves here from time to time when we are too busy, under a lot of pressure, or fall prey to our unconscious biases. This results in a lack of both compassion and wisdom. We can intentionally or unintentionally act in ways that are uncaring and unprofessional. Few employees will tolerate Quadrant 3 leadership. Their engagement and performance will be low, and in the long run, they will seek new opportunities. Our data shows that 36% of leaders are rated by their employees to lead from this quadrant. In the bottom right quadrant, Quadrant 4, we have the courage and candor to get hard things done, but our actions lack heart. We are able to drive outcomes and short-term business success, but we have little compassion. When we lead with uncaring execution, we put results before people, often at the risk of diminishing their loyalty, engagement, and well-being. Quadrant 1, at the top left, is caring avoidance. In this quadrant, we care for people, but we tend to avoid the tough parts of leadership. We have a hard time giving difficult feedback or asking people to do unpleasant tasks. This can be out of fear for their reaction, or it can be out of empathy, which is different than compassion, as we will explore in Chapter 3. For example, a team member is not performing well, and your responsibility is to let them know. But because you are leading from Quadrant 1 and don't want to hurt the person's feelings, you avoid providing this necessary feedback. Finally, in Quadrant 2, wise compassion, at the top right, we deliver the best results. We balance concern for people with the courage and candor to get hard things done. We move our organizations forward in an efficient and productive manner. When tough action is needed, we get it done with genuine care for people's feelings and well-being. Though it looks simple, this is not easy, because it goes against our neurological wiring. As humans, we are wired for empathy, and it is hard for us to do hard things to others, even when it is our responsibility to do so. There is a stark difference between the experience for followers of being led by a person seen as operating with wisdom and compassion versus those who are seen as operating with ignorance and indifference. Figure I-3 is based on our research and shows the big difference in how employees rate their job satisfaction, organizational commitment, and more, correlated to whether the leader operates from Quadrant 2 or Quadrant 3. Clearly, the case for wise, compassionate leadership is great. But it is important to note that we all operate from each of the four quadrants at different times and depending on circumstances. Based on personality and leadership style, we all have a tendency to default to one of the four quadrants. At the same time, we all move through different quadrants depending on a variety of factors, including our relationship with the person involved, our level of busyness, or the intensity of pressure we are facing. Even if we aspire to be Quadrant 2 leaders, most of us find ourselves leading from one of the three other quadrants more often than we would like. For example, many of us gravitate toward either Quadrant 1, caring avoidance, or Quadrant 3, uncaring execution, when we need to go into confrontative situations with others. In these situations, we can end up in Quadrant 1 because we do not want to hurt the person's feelings. Or we can end up in Quadrant 3 because we cannot handle the emotions we experience when doing hard things to others. Research finds that when leaders have to take difficult action, they feel guilt, shame, and anger. As a result, these feelings make them shut off their emotions and compassion for the person. So how can we avoid the traps of ignorance and indifference and operate more in the space of wisdom and compassion, the sweet spot of effective leadership? The Wise Compassion Flywheel, operating from Quadrant 2. Our research shows that there are 4 skill sets needed for a leader to operate with wise compassion when doing hard things. The first is to have caring presence, to be here now, with the person you are with. The second is to have caring courage, to choose courage over comfort. The third is to have caring candor, because direct is faster. And the fourth is to act with caring transparency, remembering that clarity is kindness. When practiced in this order, these 4 skills can create a virtuous cycle that we call the wise compassion flywheel. You can see this cycle in figure I-4. As we start to spin the wise compassion flywheel, we are present when doing hard things, and we have the courage to show up with candor and transparency. When you show up in this way, it creates greater trust and psychological safety in your teams. Why? Because people know exactly where you stand and where they stand. They know you will speak your mind and that there is nothing you hold back. They can trust you and feel safe and cared for in your presence. When spinning the flywheel, we enable others to show up with presence, courage, candor, and transparency. Over time, this becomes our culture. We unleash the best in each other and cultivate happier, healthier, and more productive teams and companies. Getting to wise compassion. With this book, we offer you everything we have learned about becoming a wise and compassionate leader. It is based on the best advice from the many seasoned executives we spoke with. It is based on more than 1 million data points from our research. It is based on field work in more than 500 companies. And it is based on the collective intelligence of everyone in our organization. To make it easy for you, we have condensed it all into 10 simple principles or mantras. The mantras are designed to be easy to remember and apply. But keep in mind that the idea of these mantras is that they are more than just words. They are concepts to be mastered, so they become habitual to how we lead. This is to say, remembering and practicing them on a daily basis is what will make you a wiser, more compassionate leader. These mantras may seem deceptively simple and make intuitive sense, but they require testing, reflecting, and repeating. There is a deeper level to them all that you will only realize when you start to explore and practice them in day-to-day leadership. The following is an overview of the mantras and a preview of what's to come in each chapter. Unlearn management, relearn being human. Wise compassionate leadership is about creating truly human connections between yourself and the people you lead. The problem with many management training programs is that they risk turning leaders into robotic managers, often speaking and behaving based on scripts and models. Chapter 1 shows you how to lead as an authentic human being, to improve followership, commitment, and sense of belonging. Great power comes with great responsibility. Wise, compassionate leaders realize that they have an enormous impact on the people they lead. Therefore, when doing hard things to others, we must ensure we do them in the most human way. Chapter 2 provides guidance on leading with skillful means, reflecting on our company's purpose, and ensuring we are considering the greater good. Connect with empathy, lead with compassion. Empathy is important. It enables us to connect with other human beings. But in leadership, empathy has its downsides. We can have empathetic burnout or care so much that we avoid taking necessary action, caring avoidance. Chapter 3 explores how compassion is empathy plus action, and how it enables us to connect with others while also doing necessary hard things. your oxygen mask first. Many senior leaders are plagued by self-criticism and self-judgment. Research shows that that is a poor mental and emotional state for achieving excellent performance. Chapter 4 dives into how to silence the inner critic and embrace strong self-compassion as keys to leading others with wise compassion. Busyness kills your heart. We're all busy juggling many priorities, but that does not mean we have to feel busy inside. In today's fast-paced culture, being busy is a badge of honor. But busyness is a choice, and a bad choice at that. Busyness kills our heart and thereby our ability to do hard things in a human way. Chapter 5 provides strategies for how wise, compassionate leaders can recognize and avoid the busyness trap. Be here now. Mindfulness enables compassion. Our research shows that the more mindful we are, the more we're capable of greater wisdom and compassion. Because of this, wise, compassionate leaders benefit from cultivating greater awareness of their own mind and the mental experiences of others. Chapter 6 covers the first, foundational step in the wise compassion flywheel. Courage over comfort. Making hard decisions often means that others disagree with you, resulting in a confrontation. Having the courage to willingly approach confrontations is one of the most important skills of wise, compassionate leaders. Chapter 7 helps you develop the ability to choose courage over comfort. We examine the fear-based boundaries we need to cross to bring more courage into our leadership. Direct is faster. Wise compassion is the difficult art of balancing professional candor, or directness, with personal care. We must hold people accountable while maintaining a level of compassion. This type of directness, done with care and courage, is always faster. Chapter 8 focuses on how to apply caring directness so people receive necessary messages quickly, enabling real conversations to begin. Clarity is kindness. As leaders, we need to be transparent. If not, people will not know where we stand and what awaits them. But if we are clear and open, it helps create a culture of transparency that fosters a greater sense of psychological safety. Chapter 9 covers how being transparent and clear is both a wise and a kind way to lead that, in turn, enables us to be more here now, enabling the wise compassion flywheel to spin. The only way out is through. In Chapter 10, we reveal how to make doing hard things easy. Practice. In the complex dynamics of navigating difficult conversations, the only way out is through. And by through, we mean through doing. By stepping into a difficult situation and coming out on the other side with a little more wisdom and a little more compassion, we become more skillful at doing the hard things necessary to lead in a wise, compassionate way. Each of these mantras can be understood as a modular experience with its own specific tools and techniques. There is much to be learned by embracing each individual mantra, and you'll see immediate improvement in your leadership practice. This means you can jump from chapter to chapter and pull out what you need when you need it. But there is an advantage to listening to the chapters and embracing the mantras in order. They are designed to follow a specific logic that builds proficiency through the understanding and implementation of each one. The first 5 chapters help you develop the mindsets for wise, compassionate leadership. The next 5 chapters, chapters 6 through 10, help you to hone the skill sets of wise compassion. These last chapters are each a deep dive into the individual elements of the wise compassion flywheel, helping you to lead from quadrant two, wise compassion. As mentioned earlier, the purpose of our research and our work is to create a more human world of work. It is our hope that this book will make you a catalyst in this movement. We bring its insights and strategies to you with great confidence, knowing that if you put them into action, you will become an even better leader who is able to do hard things in a human way. 1. Unlearn management, relearn being human. Nalima Dlomo, global head of people at KPMG, knows what it means to solve problems and manage a business. With more than a decade spent in one of the world's largest professional services firms, she has been a problem solver for many of their clients, as well as being the CEO of KPMG in South Africa. Through these years of experience, she has become keenly aware that when it comes to leadership, we often must stop our drive for managing people and instead just be human. As managers, we always want to move fast and solve big issues, she told us. It's coming from a good place. But sometimes we patronize and limit the very people who we're trying to develop. Our leadership would be improved by pausing to take a deep breath and asking questions of the people who we are leading. For example, asking, "What do you need?" even on decisions they may not be agreeable to, is the first step before taking action. Nalema's comments point to a foundational truth about the difference between management and leadership. Management is about managing others. Leadership is about seeing and hearing others, setting a direction, and then letting go of managing what happens next. If you want to be a good leader, there are a few things you need to understand. First, nobody wants to be managed. Second, who you are is more important than how smart you are. And last, leadership is all about developing and enabling meaningful and trusting human relationships. Regardless of hierarchies and power structures within any company, we are all first and foremost human beings. We want to connect on a human level with other humans. However, many leaders have been formally trained in management skills, such as setting direction, managing plans, and solving problems. But the problem with many management training programs is that they tend to turn people into robotic managers, often speaking and behaving based on scripts and models. Although some of these tactics and skills can be helpful at times, it is important to move past them, to unlearn management and relearn being human, so we can show up as one human to another. Chris Toth, CEO of Varian, put it this way. If you start to think about what our role is as leaders, it's actually quite simple. Our role is not to be the ones who make the decision or to be the smartest person in the room. In fact, it can be exceptionally dangerous if the decision-making always goes to the leader. Instead, you must create a culture of compassion and empowerment that is accepting of diverse perspectives. This unlocks people's creativity, productivity, and happiness. In this chapter, we examine how to unlearn management and relearn being human, starting with the need to embrace our common humanity. Our common humanity. Ultimately, we are all alike. We all cry. We all get sick. We all die. All humans have a desire to be happy and not experience difficulties. None of us wants to be unhappy or miserable. But somehow life doesn't work in a way that spares us from suffering. We all have expectations of life that are not met. We all want to be kind to others, but sometimes
Sample complete. Ready to continue?